brought to you by GMSDC Radio and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Let's Talk Small Business with your host, Stacy Key.
Good morning, all, and welcome to this edition of Let's Talk Small Business. It's Tuesday, 11:30, and it's March 3rd. And today, we've got an exciting show planned for you. Today, we're going to be celebrating and kicking off the 40th anniversary for GMSDC. And as part of our show today, we've got a person that's part of the GMSDC history, a part of its legacy, Mr. Joe Hudson of the Hudson Strategic Group. And so Joe is a former president of GMSDC, president and CEO. And so we're going to have some dialogue about the history, where GMSDC has come from, where it's going, as we're planning to celebrate our annual meeting today at the Coca-Cola Company at 3 o'clock. And so, Joe, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Stacy. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And so Joe was the president of GMSDC in 1989 to 92, correct?
Correct.
And so you were at the helm at a very critical time. And so GMSDC was well established in this state,
right.
Well established in the city.
Not in the state.
Not in the state. Okay. Oh, look at that. You did that.
Right.
So let's talk about that. Tell us what you did.
Okay. It was when I took over, it was the Atlanta Regional Minority Purchasing Council.
Okay.
That was the original name. And shortly thereafter, we decided that maybe we needed to look and expand what we were doing, because the at that time, ARMPC was respected.
ARMPC. Right. Look at that. He just rolled off your tongue. ARMPC.
But it was just kind of like a small business thing. It didn't give anybody any feeling of confidence.
Okay.
Didn't have any feeling of confidence.
Until you got there.
And so what we did was we decided to do a little retreat. And in the process of that retreat, we changed the name to Georgia Minority Supplier Development Council. We decided to go from the city of Atlanta, Metro Atlanta, to a statewide operation. And we raised the dues. That's the most significant thing.
You raised dues.
Right.
So there wasn't dues before then.
Right. It was $50.
$50 dues.
Right. And we raised it to $300. Everybody thought we were crazy.
So you are responsible for the name, which we have today.
Uh-huh.
You are responsible for that statewide focus, which was very strategic on your part.
Right.
And then the raising of dollars from the membership.
Right.
And so tell me who at the time that this was going on was part of your board. Who did you have on your board?
John Hurd.
John Hurd, who was with Mead West Vaco.
Right. And let's see. That's interesting because I can't recall names too well anymore. They'll come to me.
Companies.
Companies.
So it had to be Coca-Cola.
CNS,
which is now Wells Fargo.
No, Bank of America.
Bank of America.
Mead Corporation. Boeing.
Was Boeing? Okay,
right.
Boeing was a part of that.
Boeing,
wow. Bell South had to be around there somewhere.
Bell South was somewhere there. They're part of the kind of like the original people.
Family.
Cox was there. No.
Cox wasn't there at that point?
No, Cox wasn't there.
Okay.
Uh-uh. They came later.
Okay.
That's what I meant. The whole we were changing the whole dynamics of the organization, and so we had to invest and invite more people in.
Okay.
The board, for example, at that time, was composed of purchasing persons.
Okay.
They weren't even managers necessarily.
Okay.
So they didn't have any authority. It was kind of like, okay, we're just doing this. That was the tenor of the times. So what we invested in was, okay, let's uplift the board, bring in higher ranking people with more authority, people that could get things done, mm-hmm. and the like. And so that's
kind of
our task.
Well, what was going on in society? What was going on that prompted this? Because that's very strategic thinking,
right.
Changing the name, spanning the focus,
right.
upgrading the board. What was going on in the environment that was prompting some of this?
Well, actually, we were beginning to see the effects of minority business development.
For the growth. Okay.
And that was the primary thing, because we had gotten away from just all businesses that were done, you know, hand businesses. You didn't do it plasters and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We started getting more sophisticated. And also, the corporate environment was changing to a degree. But you have to remember, it was very early, so it wasn't changing much. It was acknowledging minority suppliers.
Right.
But it wasn't changing to minority suppliers. That's
okay.
A political statement.
Okay. Yeah. So the environment was changing a bit. Corporations, minority businesses were upgrading mm-hmm. the products and services that they were offering. They were really becoming enterprises versus lifestyle businesses.
Right. That's correct.
Okay. And so corporations were beginning to notice.
Right.
Now tell me, where was the federal piece in that whole time?
Okay. Federal piece was still aside because when we were there, NMSDC had no affiliation with federal contracting at all. So I'd never had to look over there. I didn't have to pay that. I knew about it from my previous life, but I didn't, as far as the organization, we were not Georgia, the state of Georgia, or no government of any, except Atlanta and DeKalb and things
okay.
like
so
that.
Okay. So the Atlanta Regional Purchasing Council, while it was a part of NMSDC, mm-hmm. There was no focus or no connections around working with state, local government, municipalities.
Local government.
Just local as the city of Atlanta.
But not
because Rodney Strong was back in that time.
And not, was he there? Yeah, he might have been.
Yeah.
but no federal government. We weren't into federal contracting.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you've changed the name, you've expanded the focus. And so what were some of the next things that followed as a result of that? Because that's huge.
It was trying to get the romance going, the relationship between
with
these corporations, because the challenge was, as I said, that many of the corporations were involved, but they weren't committed.
Okay.
Yeah. So
this was
a
step
dancing.
To get the, yeah.
You know, they were people,
dating.
Yeah,
you're
they were
dating, kind of dating.
Kind of dating.
Didn't shift. You wanted to make it permanent and get married, but dating a little bit.
And the suppliers, on the other hand, they were not prepared for the corporate environment.
How to do business with the corporate environment.
That was not there. So, because this is all, it's an emerging opportunity.
Okay.
So that was the challenges. So it was like, okay, what do we need to do for the suppliers to get them prepared? And then what did we need to do in the corporate environment? And interestingly enough, the corporate structure and response was they knew what to do. So don't be bothering me with this minority stuff. I mean, this is kind of like, I'll just be real candid. Back in that day, it was not uncommon to find the purchasing person that was responsible for the Minority Supplier Development Program to be someone who was on their way out.
Okay.
They were almost retired. If they weren't retired, they were brand new in the company.
Okay,
so they didn't have any, and people weren't really trying to do purchasing. They were trying to do social interactions, responsibilities.
So it was a different time. So it really wasn't that whole, what we think of today as that whole supply chain management.
Oh, that didn't even.
That wasn't even there.
That didn't come about for the regular guys.
that was late, that much
while,
later.
Right? Yeah. But what happened was started to be the evolution. Once people got committed, then they started looking at, okay, how can we, what's missing? What do these suppliers need? So like, back in that time, the first conversation was quality.
Okay.
Okay, so a lot of suppliers got certified, quality suppliers and this and that, just so that they could be at the table and be heard.
Yeah, that was your card to play.
Right. But it didn't get you.
All it got you was to the table. And that's how it is today. Yeah. It just gets you to the table.
To the table.
To dance.
And so that was the challenge. And then on the corporate side, we were constantly trying to, not inside GMSDC. I had two jobs.
Okay.
I was also a national trainer for NMSDC and Trios Resources out of Minnesota.
Okay.
So I used to travel the country helping corporations set up minority business programs while doing workshops primarily.
Okay.
I did workshops all over the place. So I was trying to bring that into the local environment to get these people on board to what they needed to be doing versus what they thought doing. This Atlanta is a unique city in that because of our response and responsibilities around civil rights, we sometimes played off other things under the guise that we're doing all right because we get along, black and white. We're cool. And so we don't really have to do anything except don't fight publicly. And
okay, that's a good thing.
I mean,
yes.
But I'm just telling you like it was. It was really challenging because people, many of the major corporations, mm-hmm. while they were involved, they weren't really going to do much with this. And so your suppliers tended to be office suppliers, janitorial firms, lawn maintenance companies, you know, first generation kind of entrepreneurs.
Okay.
So there was no sophistication. Well, we the suppliers weren't sophisticated either. That's another issue. But the suppliers, in the sense that many of them were just going to college. See, this is the tender point in time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? So people were just going to college. They were just going into corporations, getting these experiences. So they, and then to come out and form a business that was. That you could really
enterprise. Yes,
right.
An enterprise.
So that whole thing with that, all that was going on, and it didn't inhibit you, but it was a buzz in the back. You know, it was just like always going on. You had to keep thinking, okay, what am I going to do about this? How do I get around this? And we came up with a program that I can't even think of the name of it now. What we did was we did meetings at corporations for suppliers.
And we call them today IPCs, individual procurement conferences.
I did that.
Yeah. Oh, you did, and you did something else. Yeah. Because you know what? I want to get back to a point you were talking about. You were traveling around the country doing developmental things,
right?
And you were really traveling around helping develop one, helping corporations understand how to implement programs.
Right.
But on the flip side, you were also doing training with minority businesses and helping them understand how to do business with corporations.
Right.
And so, you know, the mantra for GMSDC was we certify, develop, and connect. Mm-hmm. And so that was my tenure, but it speaks to what you were doing back then. That development piece is the piece that you were bringing to the table to say how critical this is for that capacity.
Right.
And again, you didn't know back then where this journey was going, but today that is the cornerstone of everything. Mm. Without capacity, there is no business long term.
Right.
You cannot compete with a Coca-Cola, a UPS, or anybody else without it. Mm-hmm. You can do tier two, you can do tier three, four, or five, but without significant capacity, you cannot take on as a prime supplier to any of these major corporations. And that development in multiple forms, it takes on various forms, is what is needed. But you had started that journey back then.
Well, you think about it this way. When we were trying to expand statewide, outside of Atlanta was forest.
I mean,
literally. I mean, people were just clueless. Even though you'd go to places, you go down to Savannah to...
And Savannah was one of those because they had a purchasing council in Savannah, correct?
Yeah, but that went away. We had... That was a part of ARMPC. We closed that because it wasn't making... Wasn't bringing,
but it was an extension of you,
extension of AR,
and so we have an affinity to Savannah,
right? But when we went there, we what's the name of the jet dealer? They make jet planes.
Gulfstream.
Gulfstream. And then and in Albany, where we went to Miller Brewing Company,
you know,
and up in Rome, I think it was Nabisco had a place up there. And
Procter & Gamble.
Right, Procter & Gamble. I mean, but the corporations, but they didn't know how to do supplier diversity, even though their companies had a supplier diversity program, because they were like, you know, like the cousins. They weren't really poor. It was at the home office you did it. In the field, you perhaps didn't.
You sent some information to the home office
times. Right.
And it was more of a compliance program at that point because they were doing business with federal government.
Right, that's all.
So it was more of a compliance.
And it was compliance that they didn't recognize. What I'm saying is that the feds would push on that, but the people inside the corporation didn't realize that there was a responsibility for that.
And what you could really do to impact the return on the investment and the bottom line.
Right.
It was just always doing a compliance function from the federal government, not understanding the true value that I could drive to the business.
Right. And so the suppliers out in the hinterlands, they were really unsophisticated. So we would always try to get them to come to Atlanta, or we'd go to, if you did a workshop in Albany, you might only have two people.
Correct. Yes. Because the critical mass was not there.
It was not there, right?
And to have an enterprise in Albany.
So we tried to figure out, okay, let's all meet in Macon. Maybe we get two from here and two from there. whatever. And the MBEIC at that time, the Minority Business Enterprise
Input Committee.
They were on top of it.
Oh, were they?
Oh, they were. So
they had MBIC even back then.
Oh, yeah. We had a different council. We had the only one in which there were five or six MBEIC members on the board.
Oh, okay. So you had five minority businesses on the board.
On the board.
And I'm just going to contrast to today. Uh-huh. We also have five on the board today.
Uh-huh.
Look at that.
Yeah.
See?
But I know it shrunk at one point. I don't know that. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you brought it back.
So, yeah. We what we do today is we keep proportionately to the board members. Uh-huh. There's a percentage of MBE representation based on the number of board members that sit on the board.
Uh-huh. So, we weren't that sophisticated. It was just the.
You just had five on there.
No, we know that we needed somebody to bring and support and bring advice on the minority businesses.
The input is critical.
And so you couldn't have one person in a room of 15, you know,
15 corporations,
voice, right?
Yeah, a lone voice.
Right. what are they going to say? Who are you again?
That's right.
Plus,
it's
you're
like
small,
that
also.
Plus, it's like that in some ways today, but you know, we won't talk about that.
And the other thing that I think it was most interesting, MBEIC, because I remember Curtis Bull. I don't know if Curtis is still around.
Curtis Bull is absolutely still around.
That's Vanessa's husband.
Vanessa Bull, who's the chair of our board. Her husband is still around. Yes.
But he was, I bring him up because he was such an energetic man. I mean,
he is still today.
He would
he
be out
still
there,
today.
Man, he'd be calling you up, Joe. We got to do this. We got to do that. And it was really interesting. He'd keep you hopping.
And so let's talk about a little bit about. So back then you were certifying, and you were the impetus for development because you started that whole kind of development piece, mm-hmm. and then the connection piece was going on when you were hosting meetings at corporations. Mm-hmm. That Certify, Develop, mm-hmm. Connect. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about now. Today we've expanded the Certify, Develop, Connect to advocate, mm-hmm. and so talk a little bit about from an advocate perspective, what was going on at that time, what you were doing, if anything, in terms of advocating for small businesses, because this was all new. You were in new space and new territory.
Well, our advocacy was more of trying to get people to understand the processes that were required to participate.
For certification?
That's easy. You know, but the corporate processes and they were changed because they, you have to remember this also, corporate purchasing, I can say this, they didn't gain respect inside the corporation for the long time. When we were there, they were not necessarily respected within the corporate environment.
Oh, why so? Why was that?
At that time, purchasing was a throwaway thing. You know, just go.
It wasn't the strategic animal it is today.
Right. It wasn't a part of how are we going to get from here to there and what do we need to do it with. Mm-hmm. It was, okay, we're going to move over here. Mary, go buy some of these. You know, and so there was a difference in the environment. So mm-hmm. now, so here you are attached to a function that doesn't have respect.
Not strategic in the organization.
Right. Okay. And you're trying to promote something for the good of the order. Uh-huh. And everybody's looking at you like, are you crazy? And how do I know this? Is after I left GMSDC, we mm-hmm. did surveys at various, at my company, we did surveys at various corporations. And we tried to ascertain the view of the officers mm-hmm. versus the purchasing people versus the supplier diversity coordinator on the program. That what did mm-hmm. they think? Where did they see the value? Did they see mm-hmm. value? Mm-hmm. And the officers, almost to the person, no matter the corporation, it was something that was a social response, something we ought to just do. I mean, we're not trying to invest in.
No,
we're not trying to make anything happen. And the purchasing people were a mixed bag. And of course, the coordinator, that was their job. So they, you know, they were very, very involved with it. So it was all of this stuff is going on. Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to push the string uphill.
Yes.
You know, kind of thing.
The wet noodle.
Yeah, the wet noodle. Yeah. Because what I've always and my challenge to even today is that supplier diversity, minority business is still a bolted on process. We're bolted onto the enterprise. We're not integrated into the enterprise.
Well, I will tell you, not in all cases. In some organizations, in some companies, mm-hmm. it is integrated. Mm-hmm. And if you look at companies like AT&T, mm-hmm. that it's a strategic imperative of the organization. They're spending over $12 billion annually with minority suppliers.
Well, that's because they figured it out.
They figured out suppliers.
Yeah, this works. This is a part of how we're going to get there.
Yes.
And we'll help develop you and all that sort of stuff.
That's correct. And there are other companies out there mm-hmm. that get it equally as well,
right.
that have integrated it into the function and strategic part of the business.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You've got companies like Coca-Cola, mm-hmm. where you've got Ron Lewis, who said, we will make it to the billion-dollar roundtable. Uh-huh. We will invest $1 billion in minority and women businesses. And he's got a target, and they're working toward it. And my job at GMSDC is to help them get there.
Right.
I want every corporation that's a member of GMSDC to do $1 billion with minority
right.
businesses.
Well, Coca-Cola, for example, they were always out front. Mm-hmm. And they were always a leader nationally. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with their other competitive beverage, I won't say who that is.
Brand B.
I mean, but in that case, they were both out front. And what I mean by that is, when we needed an equity instrument mm-hmm. in the city, Coca-Cola invested in that.
Yes.
Coca-Cola and Georgia Power.
They put money on the table.
They put money, and everybody else was talking about it. They said, okay, what do you want to do? I remember when I was working with Alabama Power. This is going to sound crazy. Mm-hmm. I was working with Alabama Power, and they were trying to figure out, as a corporate, the Southern Company, which is the parent,
yes.
how to invest in the minority businesses mm-hmm. in a strategic way to get a return on investment. They were not looking for the social investment, which was popular at the time.
But see, they were ahead of their time,
right.
because the key that makes it sustainable is that you understand how to tie it to return on investment.
Right.
And so the social responsibility stuff changes based on who the leader is at the helm.
Right.
But when you've tied it to the bottom line and can show return on investment, you can show how it impacts the bottom line, those programs become sustainable.
Yeah, because it's all about value. Do you bring any value
or not? If you don't, you're a target.
I don't know if this still goes on today, but mm-hmm. used to always laugh. Suppliers would come in and say, I need to meet with the president of Georgia Power. And I'm saying
really?
To myself, why?
He's not making those decisions.
You're going to break out your rate card and say, you know, and he's going to say, what is that?
Yeah, he doesn't make those decisions.
I don't make those decisions. I know, but it's a part of people really understanding
yes.
what this is a business opportunity, and it has yeah. requirements, and you can't, you don't just socialize your way. And those days are over, in which we can sit around
well
and say
over.
We could, we should have, you owe me, all that kind of stuff.
No, those times have changed, and that will lead me into our theme for this year and probably beyond, which is realizing tomorrow. And so for our 40th, we're going to be focused on how do we help our corporate members and how do we help our minority businesses realize their tomorrows, whatever that is. But tomorrow is very different from the 40 years from whence we
mm-hmm.
came.
Mm-hmm.
Change, innovation, thinking differently, disruptive thinking, all of those things are now important. Where yesterday, not so much, it's a requirement to play the game. You can no longer show up to the party saying, I'm a small business, I'm a minority, I'm here to help. There are 50 more out there that can equally help as well. What is your competitive advantage? What do you understand about my business such that you can help me improve it in relation to my customers? How do you help me bring value? And if you can't do any of those things, the conversation is a very short one. So tomorrow is different from
right,
yesterday.
Right.
And so part of our role at GMSDC is helping each one of our business owners, helping our corporations mm-hmm. realize their goals tomorrow because they're different. And so we're trying to change ourselves so that we are nimble, we're flexible, we're the premier resource to help. We don't have everything done at GMSDC, but we've got a network. Mm-hmm. of resources that we can bring to the table to help our corporate members and help our MBEs. And so we can help you get to tomorrow with the resources at our disposal. So that's what we're focused on this year and beyond. Mm-hmm. And so at our annual meeting today, we're going to talk about realizing tomorrow. We're going to talk about our focus areas. We're going to have a new brand. So you remember the Atlanta Regional Purchasing Council. Yeah. You remember GMSDC. Yeah. And so the brand has changed. While we're still GMSDC, we're going to have a new look and feel. The network, the NMSDC network, is going to have a consistent look and feel, which is unheard of and unprecedented. We're going to look like we're related, like we're family.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's about daggone time that we look like we're family. Yeah. And so we're going to roll out the new look and feel. We got a new website. We're going to also launch our campaign, We Are GMSDC, with our social media tie. You may or may not know, we've recently had a new addition to our team. I've added our new director of communications and marketing, Vivian Rodriguez, who's heading up the campaign around the We Are GMSDC. And so with that, we're trying to say we're part of the family. We're all family. We're related. We're in some way. And so we're going to work together to make each other is successful. Okay. We are GMSDC. We're pretty big and bad and mighty, but we're going to help each other be successful in 2015 and beyond.
May I ask you a question?
Sure. You surely can.
Part of the reason for a GMSDC and a SBA, frankly, was that minority communities, black communities, were lacking in job development. This is way back.
Okay.
This theme still resonates. This capacity that you're talking about produces an outcome in which we don't talk about. I like to refer to it as the outcome of the transaction, not the transaction itself. So not the contract.
We do talk about the output. Yeah, and the output is jobs.
Right. That's where I was going. Do you talk about that? Do
yes.
you say that this year we created or expanded or whatever?
We do talk about
what
job.
About taxes and other
we do.
And
so
economic benefits.
At the annual meeting, we're going to talk about the economic impact.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to talk about for 2014 that minority businesses generated $6 billion mm-hmm. in sales.
Mm-hmm.
Their tax base for Georgia is $2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about the 30,000 employees. 15 of those, half of them are 53% roughly are minorities.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about, that was yesterday though. So we're going to talk about the future.
Well, that's
tomorrow.
What I mean. But
we're going to also talk about tomorrow.
If you recognize that, then you can see where it takes you.
Mm-hmm.
So that I guess in my world, as I try to reduce the argument for why we're doing this, for the good of the order, for the employment, for the
we're doing this
and all this
economic development for the state,
development for the city and the state.
That's the only reason we're doing this.
And if you help us, we all get benefit.
That's exactly right.
If you push back, then that's another story. But it's a matter of this is the result of this effort. It's so. Getting away from that social connotation, and I'm glad to hear that we used to have, even at GMSDC, was mm-hmm. about,
it's about business.
The right thing to
do. This is about business at this point.
Yeah.
But yes, we're going to talk about economic impact. In fact, we've got a panel that is of SBA, it's of the Metro Chamber, and Dr. Danny Boston
mm-hmm.
Of Equant, and mm-hmm. He's at Georgia Tech as well.
Right.
So he's going to talk about some of the statistics and the data. Nancy's going to share some of the things from her perspective because she's got small business development at the chamber. And then Cassius Butts of the regional administrator for SBA is going to moderate. But he brings a wealth of information to talk about what's going on in that small business space, not only in his region, but nationally.
See if you can get Danny to look into his records and find the work that he did for GMSDC in 1990. We had him.
He did 19. Oh, yeah, you're kidding.
I had him go around the state and to do a profile on what the minority businesses look like.
1990.
I think it's 90. Yeah, I think it might have been 91.
Okay, so that would be interesting.
It was
to
the
have
profile,
that.
Education, what, did they, how they get started, the male, it was male, because at that time, women entrepreneurs were just coming on,
oh, absolutely.
On the scene.
And they're still just coming on in some capacity.
Yeah.
Women of color are still struggling,
yeah.
Yes.
But it was just that we were trying to see if there was a difference between the entrepreneur who was a female and the entrepreneur who's black male or Asian or whatever.
As we're wrapping up, I want to again thank you, Joe, for taking time to be a part of Let's Talk Small Business. Thank you for sharing the history of GMSDC. It's fascinating. You will be there with us today at 3 o'clock at our annual meeting at the Coca-Cola Company. I want to thank our listeners, our sponsors, the Coca-Cola Company, Cox Enterprise Companies, Georgia Power, and thank you for listening. We look forward to the next edition of Let's Talk Small Business. Please enjoy your week. Take care.